Hi, you're listening to the TL Podcast. My name is Thomas Le Huyen, and I am interviewing someone who seems ordinary, but who is achieving extraordinary things. That is the quest of this interview. I'm here with Lachlan Ray from Wisebury Picton. How are you doing, Lachlan?
I'm very well,
Lachlan.
Thomas.
Yes, sorry. You won the Assistant Agent of the Year.
I did.
Now, just one thing I want to know, because I love to see what's going on in people's head. Can you just take us through the emotions that you experienced before the winner was announced and after, once you found out that you won?
Well, I was very fortunate that my award was one of the first ones to be called.
Yes.
So when we were going ahead with the announcing of the awards.
Yes.
The duration of me panicking wasn't very long.
What do you mean? You didn't panic on the way there? You didn't panic like going to the awards night?
No, to be honest, it wasn't a real feeling until I was sitting in that chair and they said, let's announce the awards.
Oh, really? Yeah. Okay.
So, basically when they were saying they were going to call out the assistant agent, my heart was pounding. I honestly didn't think I was going to win.
Yes.
But everyone obviously at my table believed in me. So I thought maybe I do have a chance.
Yes.
And then they called my name and I said to my partner, listening to everyone else's, because they had songs playing.
Yes.
When they were coming up, I said to my partner, did they even play a song for me? Because I blacked out. I couldn't hear anything.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah. So when I went up to the stage and I accepted the award, I did my speech and I couldn't even tell you what I said, to be honest.
He was so nice, though. So real.
Thank you.
And very humble. And I thought, wow, if this is how the night's going to be, it's going to be a great night.
Oh, thank you.
Because, you know, a lot of people don't realize it. An awards night is not just there for drinking and dancing, even though, I mean, you notice as soon as we closed it, we said, let's hit the dance floor, mate. It was packed.
Yeah.
But it is for people to get those invaluable droplets of winning spirit, because they inspiring. They, you know, whatever happens, it's inspiring. It's a little bit like when you go to a wedding, you can't help but feel the love.
For sure.
And you can't help but reminisce about, you know, what you promised yourself the day you married. And so when you sit down at an awards day, you can't help but remember the years of sacrifices and hard work and the maybe the winnings that you have gone through too. And so you're thinking maybe they're going through the same feel. What about your partner? What did he think?
Well, he was very nervous. He was probably more nervous than I was coming to the awards night.
Yes.
Because this was the first time he was meeting any of my crew.
Yes.
So I told him it's going to be all right. I'm the only one that should be nervous. So he was there for me, but I was there for him as well.
Yeah.
And as soon as he got there, he realized, we're chill. We're fine. We're all good. Everyone was very friendly.
Yes.
He loved it.
Yes.
And
then you won. So what happened then?
Well, funny enough, obviously he didn't know that I was going to win.
Yes.
But he got me a present just in case to congratulate
me. No way.
Yeah. So it would be pretty awkward if I didn't win and then he had to give me a present.
Oh, you probably would have got a present anyway. That would have been a consolation prize.
Well, that's right. Participation award.
Do you want to share with us? What was that?
Oh, he just got me a nice button up and then he obviously took me out for lunch the next day.
Oh, that's so nice.
Yeah, it was nice.
Okay.
Something sweet.
Okay, so now let's have a look. Lachlan, tell us a little bit about what goes on in a day of an assistant.
I work under my director, Daniel.
Yes.
And as his associate.
Yep.
I work for him, but obviously for myself as well.
Yes.
So at the end of the day, I'm here to build my own career, but also assist Daniel, and he's been able to help me and guide me to be the best sales assistant I can be.
Yes.
And my days will include prospecting, buyer appointments, done a few listing of presentations, and prospecting again, because that's the biggest thing that you can do is prospecting.
Yeah. Okay. What else is there?
What else?
Yep.
open homes. Like just in my throughout today.
Yeah.
That's it. Just door knock, make calls. Okay.
All right. So let's go through this. It's the worst job. One of the worst jobs, because you work as hard, if not harder than Daniel, but then you don't get the accolade, you don't get the big prize, you don't get, so, but you do get the complaint, you do get to deal with the, man, you're not working hard enough. So how do you deal with that, mindset-wise? Because I see a lot of assistant agents drowning in that.
Yeah. Well, there are obviously some days where I think, how long am I going to be doing this before I can move up to be in full-time sales?
Right.
But you got to remember that you have to start somewhere. And like anything in an industry, you're never going to start at the top.
Yeah.
And most of the time you start out with the not so fun stuff. And you push through it and don't give up, and eventually you will get there on top.
Yeah, okay. So you're still not answering my question. Daniel is a bit like me. We both lack of empathy sometimes. So how do you deal with that? Because you seem like a sensitive kind of dude. So how do you deal as an assistant agent who's copying it and sometimes he's asking things on the fly because he's flying from one place to another. How do you take that? I mean, are there any moments when you feel down?
No.
Okay.
Believe it or not, Daniel...
I don't believe it, but it's all right, mate. This is a podcast here, mate. Be truthful.
Daniel is actually... I feel he's got a soft spot for me.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So there have been times where he's not very happy with what I do. I will admit that.
Yes.
But we talk it through.
Yes.
And we reassess and... we figure out the best way to get the best result.
Okay. I get something about you. So we're not going to go through like the activity of an assistant per se, but I like to talk personal, if I may, all right? Because being a winner, there's some quality about you that is important to extract.
Okay.
You seem to be, how old are you?
23.
Okay, bloody hell. For a 23-year-old, you seem to be so wise. What's the goal? How come you're so wise at 23 and I'm still so wild at 53?
So, my parents divorced when I was very young.
Yes.
So, there was never a man of the house. I lived with my mum and, yes, I had my brothers, but we were all very like-minded.
Yes.
We grew up together experiencing the same thing. So
how many brothers you had?
I've got two older brothers.
Okay, yep.
And
you were the youngest one, the baby.
That's right.
Okay.
So we found that when mum was busy trying to make some money to pay the bills, you know, provide for us, she didn't have time to help me with certain things in life.
Yes.
Which is fine. I understand that. It's just what I knew. That's how I grew up.
Yeah.
So I found that I've always had to do things on my own. And that's why I feel like I've lived longer than what I really have, because I've had to grow and be wise and understand that what needs to be done has to be done. If not, you'll crumble.
Okay. So you want to share with us one experience that really got you there? Or your brothers, were they instrumental maybe in leading you down that path?
My brothers and I, we kind of did our own thing. We kind of focus on our own lives very separately.
Yes.
We lived in the same house, don't get me wrong. We had a great relationship, but there wasn't that friendship aspect where we could help each other out with things.
So you're on your own, really?
Theoretically, yes.
Right.
So, you know, there was every career or job that I've ever had, you know, I went out there and got it on my own and, you know, it took me ages to find out what I really wanted to do. I tried multiple different things. And I had no one really there to push me to pursue something great. And then I finally found real estate. And I was glad that I stuck with it.
Right.
Because I've actually worked at three different agencies.
Yeah, that's correct.
And I found my first agency that I worked with, I learned a lot. I was very fortunate that they were able to allow me to do the real estate course, get my license and all that. But as soon as I became qualified, they didn't want anything to do with me. They wanted me to stay there at the bottom, and they didn't want to push me.
Are you a bottom dweller, was it?
That's right.
Okay. Yeah. Bottom feeder.
That's it. So I moved on to the next agency thinking that I could progress and be more. And they didn't like me. They weren't happy with me. So I was so close to giving up. Oh. Maybe real estate's not for me. And then I found Wisebury in Picton.
How the hell did you get there?
Funny enough, I saw the ad for Penrith, an availability.
Yes.
For an assistant agent.
Yep.
And I called the director there, and he actually recommended Daniel because he said, "Are you sure you want to drive an hour to work every day?" I said, "Well, I got to do what I got to do." And he said, "Luckily, Picton's got an opening for a position. Let me give you his number."
Oh my God, Stephen must be kicking himself if he actually listened to this podcast.
How funny. Huh? So,
because you probably would have moved up there after a little while.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Okay. So tell me, the first two you chose were wrong. Mm-hmm. Do you think that you made the wrong choice? And why did you make the wrong choice? Is it because sometimes we jump into the first thing that comes to the plate? Or did you get wiser as you chose the third one? I'm trying to understand for a 23-year-old to be this wise. And I'm trying to just pick your brain now.
I find that I hate settling. And I get very bored very quickly.
Right.
If I'm not doing something that is feeding my brain, then I move on. I got way too comfortable at the first place and I needed more. The second place still wasn't enough. So I seeked elsewhere and then I finally found something that was really engaging and was able to feed my brain and keep me entertained.
But someone listening to this might say to you, why didn't you talk to them? Why didn't you just make your point? If you call yourself the future salesperson, wouldn't you then sit down and say to people, guys, if you keep me at the bottom here, I've fattened up as a bottom feeder. now I want to swim, right? If you're not going to help me swim, I'm going to go. Wouldn't you have that kind of talk first before making a move?
I'd say that I definitely think irrationally.
Okay.
Especially when I was younger. I started in the industry at 19.
Yeah.
And I probably didn't think to ask at the time. I assumed that they didn't really want me to progress because I stayed at that position for so long. I thought I wasn't able to bring that up, especially to the director that hired me. You know, when you're on $12 an hour, do you really have a say? Do you know what I mean?
Right.
So again, I took the initiative that I'm normally used to doing and seeking something elsewhere.
Yes.
And I believe it or not, I did speak to the director of the second agency.
The second one, yeah.
They unfortunately had an excuse for everything. They wouldn't let me grow because it was easier for her to have me where I was currently at.
You were a convenient...
Exactly.
...person, yeah.
My position was beneficial for her.
Yes, yeah.
She didn't want me to grow...
Okay.
...and be better.
So something went through your mind, or was it your partner who said you deserve more?
My mum.
Your mum? Okay.
Yeah. As you know, I grew up with my mum.
Yes.
I finally, at a point, was able to start talking to her, you know, as I got older, and I was able to express my feelings, and I would complain to her every day.
Right?
I would say, "What am I doing? Like, you don't want to come into work every day not being excited to work, you know?" And eventually, after saying it out loud 100 times, I realize it's time to get out of here.
Yeah.
It wasn't necessarily the advice that my mother gave me.
Yes.
It was more of the realization of saying it out loud that this is real.
Okay.
And I shouldn't settle for this.
Okay. So just as an aside, did you share the win with your mum? Did you?
Yes.
Call her? Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, she's all very right. happy. She actually, she posted something on Facebook for all her Facebook mums to see.
Oh, that's so nice. That's yeah. so nice. I thought, well, this young man is not just a winner. He's a worthy winner. I believe that there is something about you that is very special.
Thank you.
And it's still yet to be uncovered. We just finished recruit training. Yeah, right. So you're now about to step into the world of sales slowly, right? So I believe that you've been trying to avoid the course for a little while. Why is that?
You're correct. That's for sure.
Why is that?
I think I finally am happy where I'm currently at, and I'm scared that if I try something new, I will fail.
Oh, I see.
Yes. Okay. I'm scared to get into full-time sales and not achieve what I want to achieve.
Right.
I might put myself down, give up.
So what helped you overcome that fear?
Of finally doing the course?
Of overthinking.
Oh. Well, specifically,
yes,
that fear of doing the course was Daniel, my director.
Really? Oh, yeah. What did he say?
He would constantly be asking me. Yeah, I think he asked me 3 times. Because how often do you do the course?
Once every second month.
He would ask me maybe 4 times.
Yes.
Do you think you're ready? No. No. And I said it 4 times.
Yes.
And then he finally asked me again, are you ready? And I realized, yes, I want this. I need to stop tossing it to the side and avoiding it.
Yes.
Because I want to make money, and I want a career that's going to take me far. And I want to be able to provide for my future family. And
yep. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I understand that. So let's delve into the fear, because there's a lot of salespeople and people are going to listen to this and go, hold on, I go through the same thing. And I personally go through the same thing. It's like we have irrational fears that hold us back, right?
Yes.
So what was the fear? I mean, you've quit 2 places. You want to fly. Mm-hmm. You get to a place where a guy is helping to fly. He's asking you to fly, but then you don't fly. But hold on, you've walked away from 2 places where they clip your wings.
Yes.
So what was the fear? I understand the fear of failing in something new. I get that. But what were you doing to just, you know, fostering such a fear?
I think it wasn't just the fear. I think it was also the feeling that I wasn't ready. I think once you believe that you are ready, you need to just go for it.
Right. But usually the fear of not being ready is an NGE, which is fear of not good enough.
Possibly.
Right.
But I think it's not enough for you to tell yourself, for me, that you're good enough. I think I'm a big guy on validation.
Yes.
So I need to hear it from an outsider's perspective as well. Because just like when you think, if someone else doesn't think I'm good enough, then maybe I'm not good enough. It's vice versa. If someone says that you are good enough, you might realize, wow, if they think I'm good enough, maybe I am.
Okay.
So I was surrounding myself with people that are actually finally pushing me. And that was scary. It was very foreign to me.
Yes.
And then I realized after people were saying it enough, something switched in my brain and I thought, I need to just go for it.
Oh, well, you got 220 people who just gave the accolade of an award this mate. So now you're going to be a monster.
Well, yeah. it makes me think if I didn't get that award, I don't even know if I would have done the course yet, you know? And I think that award really did show me I do have what it takes.
Right. Okay. So let's go through now the relationship you have with Daniel here. What are what what are the five things that Daniel has done or does, right, when working with you that's motivating?
First of all, I just want to say, Daniel, to me, I look up to him as a fatherly figure, believe it or not. And I think that in itself has really enabled me to believe in myself. But he's also a friend. You know, there's a good boundary between the two. So these five things is the fact that he's been able to encourage me and make me believe in myself.
Yes.
He's extremely knowledgeable, and I trust him with everything that he teaches me, you know? He's very patient.
Really?
Yes, he is.
Okay.
So, even though he's pushing me and he knows that I'm ready, he doesn't want to throw me in the deep end where I can't swim. He is still nurturing me and making sure that I am ready.
Yes.
So he has the ability to bounce those two, which is nice.
Okay. That's three.
That's three.
So you mentioned that he's encouraging, yes, that he's knowledgeable, which leads you to have trust.
Yes.
That he's patient. Mm-hmm. What's another two?
He's very charismatic.
Oh, yeah?
He seems to get along with absolutely everyone. He's got a very warm energy, and he's able to have a relationship with a lot of people.
Yep.
And when you have a good relationship with someone, you can achieve anything.
Okay. Now, it's not that he's going to listen. He's not that busy anyway. So, so what would be some of the things that you'd say, I wish he improves on?
Maybe to have pushed me harder.
Oh, I like that. It's you still find a way of turning into something positive. I get it. I get it. But okay. Now, where's the next step for you here now, Lachlan? Now that you won this, now that you've got confirmation, the validation about, you know, the fact that you're better than that, you deserve that, you're actually not good enough, you're amazing enough. Yeah. What's the next step?
Well, once we're finished this course,
yep,
I will be moving into full-time sales. I've been nurturing a good database, some warm leads that I have a few ready to go that want to come on the market.
Oh yeah, you kept it okay in your pocket. I get it.
I can't help that they choose me over Daniel. You know?
Yep.
So I'm just super excited to be at an equal with the office now.
Okay. Just as an aside now, because you're about to finish the course, how did you find the course? It doesn't matter. I can take it. You don't have to worry about, you know, what you're saying.
Yeah, it was... There was so much information, and it was quite scary, but it was very... I know that I wouldn't be where I am if I didn't know any of that stuff that you taught us.
Okay, but in what way is it scary? I mean, I know that some people, like Owen, told you it was tough.
Yes.
Yeah, Thomas is whatever, right? So maybe that... put some false expectation?
100%.
Yes. Now, when you say tough, can you just be more precise?
Well, it's not necessarily the information that's tough. What's tough is the work that it's going to take to be the best version of a sales agent I can be.
Yes. Okay.
It's so intricate. It's not this industry is not for the weak.
Mm-hmm.
And I've definitely learnt that just by sitting in that room with you.
Right, okay.
And it was, you've told us some past experiences, some stories about your life and how real it is. And yeah, it's not for the faint heart.
Yeah. Did you notice like how your teammates in that room improved over the 3 days?
Yes, 100%. I think we all came into it very lighthearted. And when I've seen, as myself as well, some other people in the room, when things get hard, they laugh, they try to shake it out. And that's not what you're going to be doing in the real world. You can't be doing that.
No.
So it's good when you're able to snap out of that and wake them up. This is real. You cannot be doing this. You know, if you're in front of that person and you're starting to freak out and dance about like you're a fool,
yep,
you're going to fail. So if you can't even do it when you're practicing, how are you going to do it when you're doing the real thing?
Yep.
You know?
Okay. All right. Well, that's nice. I think it's a good piece of advice for people who are going to be new. I'm going to ask you two questions before we finish, okay? One, you seem like a very serious person, as if like the world is a serious way, a serious thing. I mean, is that real, or is that something that you'd say, oh yeah, well, that's a result of my upbringing?
I think that I am very serious in very serious situations.
Okay.
I feel like when I don't have to keep control, I let go.
Okay. All right. And then I want to ask you one last question before we close up. It is this one here. Take your time, okay?
Okay.
How do you know you're leading an inspiring life? I know you're only 23. You're starting a career, but even though we're 23, we know what it is that we have to do or the way that we need to live in order to lead an inspiring life.
Everything that I've done up until this moment, I haven't regret. And if I am able to make an impact on anyone's life because of my actions or what I say or how I feel, then it means that I've done at least one thing right.
That's nice. Okay. Anything else?
I think that's it.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, Lachlan, thank you very much. And I have no doubt you have a great career ahead of you.
Thank you.
Even if over the next few years going to be head down, bum up.
Mm-hmm.
And I wish you all the best.
Thank you, Thomas.
See you next year for another award.
Hopefully. Thank you, Thomas. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Lachlan. Bye.